Bamford. Bamford's in the D. Bamford turns goalwards. He has a shot. Oh, yes! Terrific goal from Patrick Bamford. How about that one?
I'm going to stick it in the top corner.
Welcome to Radio. I leave there. Oh, I am. Here I am. He's mentally is. That's Stu. Yes, it is. Next to me is Psycho Psy.
There's a reason why Hospital Radio, even Hospital Radio, refused to employ you.
Yeah.
As the tea boy.
It's because I kept putting my dinkle in the tea.
That's why you're
not really
hideously.
No. Because what I answered the ad and it said has to be au fait with teabagging, and those old people didn't know what hit them.
Well, you know what? I feel encouraged that the next hour is going to be insightful, deep.
Hang on a minute. Get my keys. No, listen.
Do you want to start again rather than making that awful noise?
Oh,
I'm drinking the tea again.
I wasn't. I was gently teabagging. Okay, listen. We've lost one. We've won one.
Should we talk about Wolves very briefly?
Very briefly. They were just slightly wiser than us. Okay, let's move on to Villa. Yeah. Patrick Bamford. No, listen.
Tell me about Wolves, because you were quite insightful.
Thank you.
Over the... surprisingly so.
Yeah.
Over the... Over the international break.
I was.
You suggested that it was a great leveller, that we would begin to see an end to the madness. Now, you've been proved incorrect this week. However, in the Wolves game, I think you felt fairly justified, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad. But actually,
Listen. Yeah. The Wolves game, I think the Wolves game might be kind of a little bit of a ghost for us. I think when we play some other teams this season, maybe Leicester, maybe some other teams that are similar to Wolves and Leicester, we might get to the 60th or 70th minute and go, this is the Wolves match.
Yeah.
Where we're not canny enough at that moment to kind of make it count or to bring something home. That being said, I'm not proud to admit that at half time in the Villa match, I was like, this is like the Wolves match.
Yeah.
It's difficult. And then we came out,
mm.
and I don't know a pleasant way to say this, but we pulled our pants down and by God, we let thunder rip.
Like you quite often do and have done at Trafalgar Square.
So the Wolves game is a learning point. I can imagine that Bielsa, in a strange kind of self-loathing kind of way, kind of used it as like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I imagine he looked a few people in the eyes and said, they're cleverer than us.
Mm.
We're fitter than them or as fit. We're as good a team, but they knew what to do.
See, for me, my reading of the Wolves game...
It's not that I'm not listening, I just don't care.
You're just relentless.
A lovely cup of tea, that.
It's like an elephant.
Yorkshire Gold.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Standard.
Yeah.
Hugely expensive, though.
Yeah. But with quaggar milk in it, which is free for you.
Listen, I thought the Wolves game was an interesting one in that it felt like we were playing against a team who were a couple years ahead of us in terms of recruitment, established style of play.
You said at the beginning of the season that Liverpool are like 10 years ahead of us.
I think Liverpool are about 10 years ahead of us, yeah.
So Wolves are like a mini Liverpool?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, my worry was that Sheffield United were like that, but actually I was proved wrong. My fear with teams like Wolves, and you were right to mention Leicester, who we play next, I feel like these are teams who have got an established style of play, like we do, who have recruited really well, like we have, but who have also prioritised bringing through quality talent in the mould and in the style of what they want their club to look like and play like and all
instead
that.
Instead of buying names.
But the difference is they've got that extra few years on us and it's that extra player or that extra... Now, I think players like Rodrigo and Rafinha, who we are going to talk about later on, have added a bit of stardust now, which means that I feel like maybe we can mix it with those teams. But I just feel like with Wolves... They had three or four players that whenever they got on the ball, and that's before they brought Traore on,
yeah.
they had just that extra bit of quality. Whereas at the moment, we've still got a number of Championship players who Bielsa is working miracles with, who have stepped up, in fairness, and are playing well, with then the internationals coming through. But it feels like we're a couple of years behind. So with Wolves, it was one of those games where it was always going to be one goal that decided it. It could have been ours. It could have been our goal. It could have been a 1-1. But if one team was going to win it, on the balance of things, it's the team with that bit more
nous. Did you make of Wolves against Newcastle? Did you watch that?
No, I wouldn't be bothered to.
Well, no, I watched that, and that was that match. But then the madness came back again, and Wolves kind of like looking off into the distance, and then they just spooned it to the bottom right corner.
You could look at it again and actually say it's another team who's played Leeds and lost the next day, lost the next game.
True.
And actually, maybe the Premiership's not immune. Maybe we've been assuming that the Premiership is a lot harder than it actually is. I don't know. but maybe it's another team who are genuinely knackered. And like, really interesting thing that one of the Villa players said about the last time that they played Leeds is you always need a few days off after playing Leeds.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. You need a few days off after playing us because you're punch drunk. So I think with the Wolves game, I think that was fair. I think it was in some ways a reality check. We've not really had to get used to losing at the moment in games where we genuinely feel like we've got a chance. And if we're all being honest, we were all holding like a secret hope that Wolves was going to be a victory for us, or at least a draw. And so I was gutted after the Wolves loss. But I was like, why? They're a really good side in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't know. It was just one of those things.
What do you make about, like, Europe coming up and those teams? Like, Leicester playing Vladivostok or whoever. They played some mad team I'd never heard of before, but they had to go halfway around. Well, I don't know if they did actually, but they will have to go halfway around Europe to do it. So our direct competition.
Bold.
Leicester, Wolves, Spurs. What?
As you're...
Let me tell you something. You're talking to a man who has a layered approach to gambling when it comes to Leeds United. I have money on them winning. I have money on top two. I have money on top four. Got money on top six. I don't know if that's a good way to bet or not. But I made the bet.
It's certainly layered.
The day after we watched Derby, I put money on Leeds to win the Premiership. And that was the tallest odds you get. Let me tell you something for free now, mate.
Go on.
Leeds are 80-1 with Bet365 to win the Premiership. Leicester City are 100-1. Hold on. I think that's sixth or seventh favourite.
Yeah.
But that changes after every match.
Yeah.
I mean, if they lose the next match, they'll go back to like 150-1.
And you know my feeling about betting.
That it's for kings.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're gutless. And you'd rather save money, basically selling your children into slavery.
This is scary.
No, I'm joking.
Because they're useless as well.
No, I know. Weak little fingers.
Yeah,
not, yeah, no. Yeah,
they've,
yeah,
they've taken my side of the brain, yeah, unfortunately.
Okay. But, so everyone's thinking Leeds are going to make a difference. I was on this podcast, which was, do you remember, it was Two Up Top, with those lads that wanted to cuss me, Chelsea, Man United, usual fodder.
You were quite aggressive in that.
I was hugely aggressive, and the reason I was aggressive...
You'd been on the special brew, hadn't you?
I was aggressive because they took this tack of like, Man U are only going to finish third this season, I'm gutted, and I was just a bit like, hang on a minute, what's going on here? So I went out all out attack, and I tell you what, I tweeted them yesterday, and they tweeted back and said, you did warn us.
Yeah.
And now they're scared, and I tell you what, there's been a tweet going around on Twitter, because that's where you tweet.
Right.
Although I was usually mistaken about that. I thought tweeting was just when you open people's letterboxes and shouted shit through it.
Yeah.
So I've been tweeting away. I've been tweeting all up and down, not my street. I live on a nice street. I've been going down where, you know, people were struggling to pay for food and stuff.
Where I live?
Yeah. I've just been opening letterboxes, shouting, you're irrelevant, you're nothing to me.
The universe is cold and empty.
And you know one that really sticks? I know where you live.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange how that is a hugely threatening thing, especially when you shout through someone's letterbox.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that the shouting through the letterbox is an initial aggressive act.
Yeah.
So when you're not doing that and you've got your ear to the Twitter.
Ear to the Twitter sphere.
What's this tweet?
The Arsenal fans are absolutely petrified to play us. You got a 50-50 split oh, we'll be all right, and the usual kind of stuff. And then you got the proper fans that know football, and they go, Leeds are going to bury us.
Oh, I'd just love it if Xhaka was playing. Do you know what I mean? Like, just our midfield, yeah, just running rings around them. That would be the dream.
Mm.
That podcast was quite interesting, because I was sort of watching it, and my impression was that they got in touch with us guys because it's like, oh, they talk philosophy and football. There'll be a nice, easy little, yeah, you know, little chat. And you were raging. There was a darkness that was unlocked.
Well, because the thing is, one thing that's interesting is that we've had a series of invitations onto podcasts. Surreal to me. And it's like, would you invite, Derby fans on with Man United fans and Arsenal fans and the rest of it and say, oh, let's talk about football? No, you wouldn't, because not only would they be busy like chatting up their sister, but they can't play football.
Yeah.
And so when we're invited on to talk about Premiership football with a whole bunch of Premiership teams, when I'm invited on to talk to a Man United, Chelsea fan, and I think the other one was one of the big boys, no, they don't really support them, Liverpool, you know.
Yeah.
And then I just get all irate. Now, we're not really invited onto anything. And the reason is because they just don't want Leeds fans sitting there lording over them.
The reason is that you...
Because I did it nude from the waist down.
You did it nude from the waist down, you kept standing up. And
called him Mr. Floppy.
You were shouting aggressive slogans, yeah, at them, yeah, about their partners.
Mm, mm, mm.
And what you did, you didn't just give us a bad name. You gave Leeds United a bad name.
Yeah.
And I would say you need to look at yourself and improve. But the moment you look at yourself, the narcissistic sort of edge comes out, and you're really pleased with what you've done there.
Well, what I was going to say was, I've noticed there's been a lot of people doing stuff for charity lately.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. No, come on. No. Fair dues. Give credit where it's due, right? And I have been sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, people not doing the PPV, you know, giving their £15 to some kind of trust or whatever. And I was thinking, I had these special T-shirts made. And I was thinking, what we could do is a charity walk, and then the walk culminates in... Well, the name of the walk is Teabagging for Leeds. And at the end of the walk, we go to the local old people's home.
No.
And we make tea for the old people.
Yeah.
So what we do is we go in.
You are a disgrace.
We go in we very carefully nurture the tea bags. Into the hot liquid, yeah, and then we help these poor old people shove it down their throats, and they will be okay. And we will say, okay, we're gonna do a fundraise for it, yeah. And if you say no to that,
you're a deviant.
If you say no to that, then you don't have the required desire for teabagging old people that I need in a friend.
You're a deviant.
Yeah,
you're a deviant.
Yeah,
you worry me. You actually I'm worried for the public.
Talking about your frugality for a second.
Yeah.
You didn't even entertain paying for £15 for watching Leeds, did you?
No.
No. Would you? How much would you pay? Now, let's just think about this. So, you know,
I've got the Sky subscription.
Well, I still think that's astonishing. I can't believe it. I had to pinch myself. I had sleepless nights when you first got Sky, because I just thought, who's going to feed the kids? yeah, apart from Aldi
suits.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Yeah, fair play. When we get teabagging, that'll get them fed.
What have you been watching? I feel like I need to curate your...
I've been watching a lot of true crime.
Yeah, is that what you're calling it?
I have been watching.
Yeah.
I say watching.
You've been on the side of the criminals.
I've been watching a lot of true crime. I say watching, I mean... doing.
You did actually say to me today, earlier on today, you were like, back in the 80s, I think I probably would have been a murderer and I would have got away with it.
Well, let me tell you something. When I was a child, I used to obsess about Jack the Ripper, because I thought, with no relevant police force, I thought, yeah, all right.
Great.
And now, the more I learn about America between about 1950, post-World War II, and about the mid-80s, I think to myself, it was a free-for-all. You could do what you wanted. I used to get a kick out of just grabbing, you know, a bunch of penny sweets from Woolworths and run out.
Mm.
Now, if you take that metaphor and apply it to 1975 America, bunch of penny sweets, innocent people in their beds. Running out, running away from police. No, I'm joking. But people are loving true crime these days. I tell you what, I can't, the world's filled with sickos. If you think you're ostracising me right now, you better think again. Because the people listening to this right now, they're listening to Cold, you know what that is. They're listening to My Favourite Murder. They're listening to all sorts. When you know, I keep forgetting the names of them, but they love it. And so you're the idiot here. So you didn't pay for the Villa match?
No.
How much would you pay to watch Leeds United play? They just poo-pooed. Did you hear what happened?
Live?
No. Oh. On your telly? Oh, live on your telly? You can use your fingers to, for Fiver. A man. Right. So they put forward $9.95 or something like that.
Yeah, I'd probably pay that.
And they've said, no, it's 15.
The moment it breaches the £10 barrier.
So $9.99 works on you, doesn't
$9.99
Because you're like, that's less than a tenner.
I'm bought in. I'm like, I've got change from a tenner in.
Yeah.
So I've got that penny sweet that you've run out with from Woolworths. I'm purchasing the dog. You like would, a duke.
You'd buy a tenner for $9.99, wouldn't you? I'm getting a real I'm getting a real bargain here.
Of course I would.
Yeah. You muppet.
I'd buy a million tenners for $9.99 each.
Would you buy five for $9.99? I got one here.
No.
How about... I got his lovely used tea bag.
I'd...
I'm leaving the
I'd pay $9.99 to watch Leeds United play on the telly.
Thank you for saying that in a staccato fashion, like I'm a simple person.
How much would you pay? You'd pay nothing. You'd find some Latvian stream.
No, it wasn't, actually. It was German.
Oh.
I am a man of charity. Mm. Many people see me in the street and they go, look at that man of charity.
Mm.
Okay. Much like Booz of Rakab in the in the Bible. But
it's the only bit you've read, isn't it? Yeah. And you're absolutely delighted that you've got a biblical reference.
No, sure. I know all the stories in the Bible. The bit with the animals. The animals on the boat.
Yeah.
I know the fish when he goes, I've only got fish and chip. The chip fans here. There's that bit.
So you're a man from a village called Charity. So you're a man of charity.
Yeah.
Crack on.
You've
lost your train of
thought. Wash my feet. Oh, man, I've only got my hair. No. Well, I wanted actually a bit of imperial leather. Well, then my hair and tears will have to do.
You've lost your train of thought.
What would I pay to watch Leeds play?
Oh, there you found it again. You've been scrambling for the last few
seconds. I didn't pay to watch Leeds play. What I did do, and I've not told you this, is I actually gave our money. I didn't want to say it in these circumstances. I gave our money to the LUFC Trust.
No, that's fair enough. I'm happy with that.
I did it mostly for myself because, you know, there's no such thing as a selfless good deed.
No. True altruism is a lie.
But if someone asks me, I'll go, yeah, it was half and half. Although you should have given 15 as well. Although 15 is about a week's worth of shopping for you.
You're not far off, actually.
So I watched an illegal stream and I gave £15 to a charity. Mm. I've got to be honest with you, I'm dangerously ill-informed about all this. Who does the money go to?
Hezbollah.
Well, I'm happy I've done it then. Because I was watching Al Qaeda TV, they had the Leeds match on, and it was fine.
Big Leeds fans.
Massive Leeds fans.
Send Marcelo Bielsa in, he'll bring peace.
He won't, he'll make them dangerously efficient. They'll be running this country.
That's true.
Yeah,
they'd indoctrinate you and he'd make them unstoppable.
We've seen
what they've done to Dallas. Anyway, Aston Villa. Let's talk about Villa. Let's talk about you and me, baby.
Yes. Okay. I love that joke.
Because you did it about 10 podcasts ago.
I did.
And you're gutted that I was leaving.
I know. Now I'm caught. I've got to wait 10 podcasts. It was a magical evening for so many different reasons. It was unbelievable to... I put a tweet out on the day and I said, we have to beat Villa for three reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. And I really put my academic brain on this, right? Mm. I said, the first reason is this. With the injuries we have, it would be a gargantuan effort of resilience and teamwork, which would be rewarded with 3 points.
Yeah.
That's my first point.
Yeah.
I think that's solid, right?
I'm in agreement.
The second point would be, at this point in the season, 10 points would be incredible. And then even though I'm saying we're going to get top three, I'm still of the mind that I want us to have 40 points, even though I think that there will be a dangerously low amount of points to get relegated this year.
Yeah, I agree.
So I said, I know, it's crazy, isn't it? It's almost like I've been reading about fuzzball. So I said 10 points would be incredible in this point of the season. That's my second point. The third point was the one I was most proud of in the sense of, you know, my articulation and eloquence. And it was Villa a set of twats. And people were resounding in their agreement in all those things.
See, I'm not in agreement with the third.
I hate them. I hate them. I hate what they stand for. I hate what their club is. They're dirty. They're menacing. They make excuses. They're run by a bus driver that looks like he's been given a coaching job for 24 hours. They've got filthy players on the pitch. They've got filthy players advising, filthy ex-players advising. And I'm not interested in them. And I know they've got more points than us. And I know they've got a game in hand, blah, 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 rest of it. I can't wait to see them sink to 14th or 15th in the table when they realise that the toys are out the pram and that's it, I'm done, finished.
And that's fair. But I think what you actually mean is this. You despise the current iteration of Aston Villa.
I've always been indifferent to them.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've always, I mean, particularly during the Martin O'Neill years, I always sort of saw them as a sort of a second club in some ways. Like I always looked out for them to do well. But there was an honesty. There was a graft. Yeah. There was a style of football that I liked. And a genuinely large fan base who actually seemed like genuine football fans. I've like a warthog that has come across a quagmire. I have been immersing myself, rubbing myself all over the Aston Villa podcast channels to listen to. Initially, it started off with that sort of gloating. I want to hear them. I want to hear them just be gutted all the way through. And I mean, a couple of things came up. First of all, that they hate Patrick Bamford more than we hate Grealish. That, I mean, they hate Bamford.
Why?
I think they just see him as this sort of, like, ironically,
anti-footballer.
Diving, sort of weak, just sort of the whole persona of Bamford, which we've come to love.
Yeah.
They despise. I found that really interesting. The second thing is, they seem like genuine fans who, through gritted teeth, they all had the caveat of, if only it wasn't Leeds that beat us. If only it wasn't Leeds. They were really positive about us. And there's actually one podcast that I listened to where it's almost devoted purely to talking about us and how good we were. And so, like, for me, I feel like actually Aston Villa, the current iteration, I can't stand. Tyrone Mings, for me, is an example of everything that's wrong with the English national side system. How is he getting a look in? Jack Grealish is a disgrace.
I saw an article. I just need a quick intermission. Saw an article saying that Bamford should have an England call-up.
Well, you know what? If we had a well-run international side, we'd be picking players through a meritocracy. So, who are the most informed English players?
As opposed to like a dangerous machine gun kind of approach to just put 11 of whoever.
Jermaine Defoe will play for England before Patrick Bamford does, under Southgate. Rashford will play for England more than Bamford currently at the moment. Danny Welbeck, and I mean this, Danny Welbeck will be put back in the England squad before Bamford is. It's a stroke of luck. I'm surprised that Ben White hasn't been called up. But it's, you know, because if you look at meritocracy, Ayling needs to be in that England squad.
Yeah.
Even if he's not starting ahead of Kyle Walker, he needs to be in the squad. Bamford, arguably, you could look at his record and say, he needs to be.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
England fans would begin to understand our frustration and like, well, he scored 2, but he missed 75. Phillips obviously is in. Harrison on the left. We haven't got a left-footed winger.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a good intermission. Yeah. Look, I can't stand the current iteration of Aston Villa. John Terry, Dean Smith, I think are scumbags. I think they're absolute scumbags who benefited from Bielsa showing a level of morality in allowing the Aston Villa to score 2 years ago the goal that he felt we didn't deserve to score. There was outcry for them. What did they do? They went on and did the exact same thing and wouldn't give a goal back. Yeah. The hypocrisy. They reek of hypocrisy. Everyone talks about how good Grealish is, but Grealish would have scored goals if he wasn't flopping around on the floor. Mm. Like that, the faux penalty claim where he stuck his foot out to be tripped over, yeah. That strikes me as a man who doesn't have enough confidence in his own vaunted abilities to be able to smash the ball into the back of the net after putting the fear of the Holy Trinity into the hearts of all of our defenders, because he was running at pace with skill going to the box and he looked for the foul.
Mm.
Like, what top player does that?
Mm.
So I can't stand that. But so that made it sweet to beat them. I felt Dean Smith had been found out, particularly with all of the Gabby Abong Lahore. I don't want to talk about him too much because he's washed up.
Potato.
And you can see you can see he's on the sauce, can't you? Like, yeah. My words.
Which sauce? The daddy's.
I think it's the full branded HP.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's
His blood is.
But also, you know what annoys me, right? So he did those kind of like, it was baiting. He was like baiting like Leeds fans, and then when we won, instead of going hands up, rest of it, he continued going, such a massive club, why are they bothered about me tweeting and the rest of it? It's just
mind
that
the
thing.
Gap, mind the gap.
Yeah,
it's like, oh no, you're worse than your worst fans.
Yeah,
and it's like,
and you know what, I think most Villa fans would be like, shut up, you fat idiot, and get out of it.
Yeah, they're all like, they were suspiciously quiet right. On these podcasts about him, which made me realise.
I loved it when Bamford said, when I was like, what, Beverly?
That was rubbish.
No, I don't know. I know, but I'm trying to get the high-pitched David Beckham kind of thing. Where he's also like, well, apparently I'm a myth. So, yeah, it was just nice to get there. I loved that. I was like, boom, town. I would have flopped the old boy out at that point. I would have.
You need to stop doing that.
But this is the problem, isn't it, with toxic femininity?
I go back to this. This is the problem with you being a certifiable deviant. You've just not been caught yet. They're going to look back, just quickly.
Yeah, go on.
When you were eventually caught.
I thought you said when I'm a vegetable.
Well, you might either well way, be a vegetable yeah. at that point.
When I get
because
caught.
Of your life of excess.
Yeah.
When you're a vegetable, when you're caught, they will look back over these podcasts and we're like, he was saying all along.
Yeah,
you were
telling
like,
us.
We were laughing along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thinking he was joking.
Yeah, yeah.
Why they're
yeah,
listening to our yeah, podcast, I don't know. The Leeds police. Go on, what are you going to ask me?
Leicester City. Leicester City is a tricky match, and I tell you why. Because I think one of three things is going to happen.
I'll either win, lose, or draw.
No, we'll win by a small amount. We'll win by a canter, or we'll absolutely bum them. No. I think what will happen is one of two things will happen, and I'm going to be very specific here. I'm a gambling man.
You've not mentioned it.
They are going to do to us what they did to Arsenal,
where
they will absorb. Counter-attack, absorb, counter-attack, and then all of a sudden, you know, 33-year-old Jamie Vardy, who, when I was playing FIFA yesterday, I was playing, right, and I was like, oh, this is all right, and then it went in the top corner, it had a little thing, and it said, Jamie Vardy's face came up, and the rumours of him moving to Leeds,
Yeah, you've called on that, haven't you?
I have, I don't want him anymore.
You're obsessed.
I wouldn't mind having him, but he wouldn't start.
You wouldn't have Vardy over Rodrigo, would you?
No,
you'd have Vardy over Bamford, don't you?
The problem is Vardy will score goals. It don't matter. Like you could put Vardy on a Sunday league team and he'd get kicked left, right, centre. You could put him in the Champions League final. I think he'd still score.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's a goal scorer. If you don't mind me saying,
oh, I don't mind at all.
But
that's a good point. Well put.
What will happen is Leicester City will score in the 75th minute and then just sit back and absorb what we've got. And I think it will be faster and more furious than what Arsenal had. Or I think we will carry on where we left off. I watched the Leicester against Arsenal match. I'm watching a lot of football these days, mate. Like, a lot of football. I'm even watching German stuff. But anyway. I think we will spank them. Now, these are big words, like 6 days before the game kicks off. I just can't see any other thing. I don't think we'll get turned over. I can't see us getting turned over by anyone. I think maybe we might have one or two games a season where we get found out a couple of times and we'll be 2-0 down before we know it, and then we'll have a 3-1 or something like that. But I think either they're going to be professional against us like Wolves were, or we're going to do to them what we did to Aston Villa.
The thing that's interesting for me is Wolves play a lot of wing football.
Mm.
And so, a bit like us, they They love to have advanced fullbacks. A lot of the attacking play goes through the wing.
Yeah.
Before then coming central. And I think that's where Wolves are do really well. A lot of the clubs in and around us, and even the top clubs, they focus their resources, their energy, on the central sort of triumvirate of you've got your defensive midfielder and then your two central midfielders, so an eight and maybe someone more advanced or two eights almost, or sometimes two defensive midfielders and one sitting in the front. Leicester, to me, strike me as a team who rely very, very heavily, particularly since Kante, on having that defensive midfield fulcrum.
Yeah.
Now, I know we rely on Calvin quite a bit, but he doesn't he's not the one that affects the attacking plays. What he does is he's the one that spreads it wide.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the attacking begins in the wide channels. The thing that might come to our advantage against Leicester, and where it didn't work against Wolves, because Wolves are used to that, and that's how they play, and they were strong on the wings.
Leicester might try and change.
Leicester might even try to change their system, although Brendan Rodgers doesn't often do that. What they might try to do is they might try to stick to their system and affect the game that way, but actually we could then bypass their strong midfield.
Yeah.
I might be completely wrong. My feeling is it's going to be another 1-0.
Really?
Yeah. And the problem is when you've got someone like Vardy, he's your typical 1-0 striker.
Yeah, and also my feeling is if Rodrigo has a good match,
I'd love him to get a goal.
If Rodrigo has a good match and the two centre backs have a good match, I think we've won it.
Because
I can just see the long balls.
Didn't you love his passion when Bamford scored?
Yeah, it's great.
I've got this, like, I worry.
I worry.
I really worry about...
Yeah, you worry. Go on.
you need to go and have a drink. Your tea's run out.
Yeah.
What I worry about is when these players come in, and you sort of called it at the start, it's like we don't want journeyman players to come in. I worry about whether players will buy into the fact that it's us, it's Leeds.
Yeah.
And whether or not they'll feel bigger than what's going on. But and Rodrigo, for me, I do really feel like him and Cock are like the jewels in the crown.
Yeah.
Rafinha, he has the potential. I mean, he looks electric. But those two,
yeah,
seeing the passion that they've got when other people in the team succeed,
it's just nice.
It just takes that worry away. Rodrigo's shot was saved. It would have been great had it gone in for him. He'd cut a slightly frustrated figure up until that point, and I was beginning to worry. I was like, is he just after a season going to be like, you know what, can't bother, can't bother with this, and get that move to a slightly higher Premiership club or something? I was like, is this what's going to happen? But no. Like the joy on his face when Bamford scored, like this guy, and that suggests that the due diligence has been done in terms of, now this guy is the guy that's going to fit without the ego into the team. I've got to hope the same for, I mean, Cock for me also epitomises that.
That's what I'm saying about the Leicester match. Like, when Cock arrived, obviously famously in the first match or two, he made a couple of mistakes.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
I can see a couple of balls, I can see Tielemans working his magic. And then Vardy, 100 mph. And if Cock has a good match...
Yeah. Depends who his partner is.
I'm a bit worried about Strike.
His confidence is going to be low, isn't it, at the moment?
Shackleton was incredible.
See, I'm wondering whether or not, in the absence of Calvin Phillips, whether we actually... And Bielsa alluded to this. Whether we have a more mobile midfield. Like, do we necessarily have to have your out-and-out defensive midfielder? The thing that was quite nice about having Shackleton is, like, when Click wasn't running at them at full pace and then running back at full pace, Shackleton was running at them at full pace and running back at full pace, and then when them two weren't doing it, Rodrigo was running at them and going back. And I'm not saying Calvin Phillips doesn't do that, but Calvin Phillips is a lot more disciplined, and
he spreads the ball far more quickly. There's no real sense of, like, galloping at people. He passes it out and then they go to the wings. But that incessant kind of pressure, like the Villa couldn't live with it.
It just makes me wonder that I think a fit Calvin Phillips enhances our team.
Yeah.
He has to play. But without Phillips...
It's a nice plan B, almost rivals plan A.
Yeah, maybe we don't need to actually shoehorn someone who isn't a defensive midfielder in. I wonder when Llorente is back fit, whether we will then begin to see Robin Cock being played in that defensive midfield role. You know, Cooper's never going to play that. He's tried to stick it out with Struyck. I just don't see Struyck doing that. He seemed a bit ponderous, admittedly, against, I hate to say it, one of the best ball carriers in the Premiership, in Grealish. But he did look a bit ponderous.
Do you
ponderous.
Think he should have been sent off?
Yes. That was that. If he hadn't already had a yellow card, that second challenge would have earned him a yellow card. Yeah. And the sort of the justice warrior in me is like, well, then that should be a yellow card. So I love what Bielsa did.
That doesn't always work.
But I think Bielsa did something that not a lot of other managers would have done, in that he whipped him straight off because he could see. But what I really
thought it was amazing at the time, people were absolutely slagging him off. Oh, what kind of manager pulls off someone after 20
minutes? That's a really good manager.
Genius, true.
But what he did, which I think was doubly genius, was he brought a player on who had a completely different skill set, but who he felt could affect the game more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could argue in some ways it was a tactical shift rather than a purely sort of protective one. But, you know, going back to the Aston Villa game, I'm delighted for Patrick Bamford. That shows, when he's given that little bit of time and space, the quality feeds into what I said. He never got that time and space in the Championship.
Yeah.
Because you were either up against two blocks of four who were just doggedly defensive, or you were up against defenders who were just in the face all the time, in the face, in the face all the time. And so actually what you're seeing in the Premiership is he's actually been given that bit more time and space because the defenders back themselves.
But also, you can be made out of, like, you can be made out of crystal in the Championship.
Yeah.
And you get booted around and no one cares. Actually, the defenders in the Premiership are made out of crystal.
Yeah.
Because they look at you too hard and then you got a penalty. And I think what's happening with the Premiership in terms of goal scores is that I think they're thinking too much, defenders.
Yeah,
they're kind of, you know, the amount of times when I'm watching like Match of the Day and you see in slow-mo defenders who in real time are kind of running at 20 miles an hour and moving their limbs really fast, and you see them in slow motion put both their arms behind their back, pull one leg back and then put one leg out in front and close their eyes. And you're thinking, they've gone through about an extra 10 ideas in the head before they've tried to block a shot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've got 4-3s and 3-1s and all this kind of stuff. And it's because they're thinking, and they don't want to put their hands up and say, I did that.
Yeah. They don't want that VAR call. No. If they think they put in a really good tackle.
Because also, like, the VAR calls when they first came about was, you know, you'd have a defender on the back page going, like, and all the headlines being, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's another day in the Premiership.
Yeah, as every year goes by,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those that they realise that the storylines, they'll do tweaks here or there, but it's not going away. Mm. I think the Aston Villa game for me was amazing because what it showed was just the relentless nature in which we play is going to break so many teams down. And the thing I used to worry about in the Championship was after 60 minutes, if we hadn't scored, I'd then get really edgy.
Yeah.
But what it showed, particularly, I don't think the Premiership has necessarily seen a team like Leeds, because on top of that, there's man-marking going on.
Yeah.
And again, the assumption in the Premiership is your skillful players are skillful enough if you man-mark a player to go around that player. But that's not been truly tested out.
No.
It's just being shepherded out wide and shepherded back against that. You've got flipping Alioski screaming like a goat in your face.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm on £150,000 a week. Who's this nutcase North Macedonian that's snapping at my heels? And then you get past him and you're up against Klitsch.
Yeah.
And you think you've gone past him and you've got Shackleton. And it's just like, it's relentless. And then the moment you lose that ball, you suddenly see their centre backs running past you.
One thing.
And we're up scoring.
One thing that was an equal amount of pride and shame.
Mm.
Pride in Leeds United, shame in for the game of football.
Yeah.
Was I think Leeds' third goal.
Yeah.
It might have been the third goal. It might have just been a highlight where Villa lost the ball on the 18-yard box, and before you knew it, it was 7-4.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it was really late in the game, like 90th minute.
Yes, it was. Yeah, after the third goal. Yeah.
I started to see Spurs, Chelsea, less Chelsea, but Chelsea. You know, Wolves fans retweeting it saying, what is this?
Yeah.
Why is it in the 90th minute they're playing like they're a goal behind?
That should have been the fourth goal, because Harrison just took a swipe shot because he felt like he wanted to get in on the action, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you could see actually the frustrated figures. We had four players queued up on the edge of the box without a defender anywhere near them.
And then also, obviously, the Rafinha pass. Where if the ball had just carried... Because actually, if you watch that highlight, you'll see him making the pass. And he makes an incredibly fast run to the edge of the box. And if you're not canny, you miss it. Because you just watch the ball and then you watch that Pablo blazes it over. But if Pablo was 2 yards behind or just left it, Rafinha would have made that pass and finished. And it would have been one of the goals of the season.
Rafinha, for me, he... So first things first, he's so quick that he makes Harrison look quick but not rapid.
Yeah.
And we know that Harrison is dangerously fast. Yeah. So Rafinha seems to have a raw level of pace that I think probably the closest player we've got to that could be Costa at full flow.
Yeah.
But I'd say Rafinha's faster. He's got that bit of X factor, which I love. A really interesting moment. I was even earlier on today, I was just watching you know, one of those YouTube compilations of like the best dribbles.
Oh yeah.
Just because I fancied it. Played football tonight. Just thought I'll watch some clips.
Brilliant. What a life.
Guess who popped up?
Rafinha.
He did.
Yeah.
And he does this wonderful little sort of drag back, two defenders on him, gets through, very deliberate, then pass across, leading to a goal. And then it cracked onto another top player. And I was thinking, we've got someone here who's different level. I'd love to see him start a game and see how that works. I mean, he's done his stock no harm with the under-23s performance that he put in. Yeah. He just looks like the real deal. It feels now like we are building to proper competition. I worry about Costa because Costa seems to always look gutted when he gets taken off.
That's all right. But so would you be?
Yeah, of course. I just hope that doesn't turn to sourness. Do you know what I mean? Like, but you know, he's our player now. He's signed up fully, and he has been good this season.
Yeah.
So it sounds, you know, with Poveda, Rafinha, Harrison, and Costa.
Yeah.
That's a really good set of players on your wings.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's impressed me already. His potential is incredible. So do you want to talk me through what you think is going to happen next Monday?
I think it's going to be 1-0.
2?
I think it's going to be 1-0 to Leicester. I really do. I don't want it to be. I think I'm with you in some ways. I think it could be 1-0 to Leicester or 3-0 to Leeds.
Yeah, I think so. I think, honestly, I think we're going to win it. And I think in the weeks that follow, we've got Arsenal as well. I think we're going to race to 20 points.
Mm.
And then we'll take stock at the end of November, I think, you know.
I think you're right about particularly, I don't think 40 points will be needed to survive.
I think you're looking at 32, 33.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'd be seriously concerned if I was a Fulham fan. I'd be seriously concerned if I was a West Brom fan. I'd be seriously concerned if I was a Sheffield United fan.
I've got a strange little thing in the back of my head that says that West Brom's going to go on a run.
Yeah, they could do. They've got enough.
At least they stick it out.
They've got enough. Well, they've got a manager who is a good manager.
Apparently, he's about to walk. Have you heard this?
Is he?
Because they've just sold a player under his nose. They've just sold one of his players under his nose, and he's come out and said, "I had no dealing with that. I want him to stay."
See, Slavan is a man of ego as well, isn't he?
Well, he is, but to be fair to him, if that was me, I'd be like, "Well, forget this." You know.
Well, Bielsa did that, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'd be concerned if I was them, because the teams that were in and around there are looking a bit different this year. Like Crystal Palace, for me, are looking like a prospect this year.
Yeah.
They're looking decent.
Well, what they've done is they've consolidated. People keep whinging and moaning, like, why haven't you bought new players? Why haven't you bought new players? Well, actually, you know what? They've got a real solid bunch of players, and they've got a few players that are absolute bangers, you know.
Who will walk into almost every team.
And they're winning 1-0.
Yeah.
And it's that simple, you know.
They're the teams, I think, that are going to be big games for us. You know, I'm really...
Who have impressed you most this year? Put Leeds to one side. Which other team in the Premiership has impressed you the most?
Leeds, obviously, for me. Yeah. I think who's impressed me most, because with Villa, I've got this sense that they're going to go on a massive losing run at some point. That's a lovely sense you got there. I don't think they're going to... I think this is literally an aberration that's taken place.
Oh, I think so. I think they'll end up with 50 points.
Crystal Palace are the ones that have impressed me the most, because they're playing a style of football that you wouldn't expect from Hodgson.
Yeah.
They've managed to keep hold of Zaha, who he worries me. I can't wait to see him versus Ayling.
Yeah,
that's going to be lovely. That.
Yeah. He's got that ineffable quality that you just can't teach, and that's why he just digs something out. And it's just,
and he's got the physicality as well. He's a proper player, isn't he? Yeah. They've really impressed me. Everton, obviously, but then Everton have got a really quality side.
Yeah,
like they've spent an awful lot of money.
Yeah,
mind you, so have we. But you know, I think.
When the team that's really, really impressed me, like, and they impressed me last season. They've impressed me for the best part of the last 6 months is Southampton.
Yeah, I still have them.
I know you think they're vanilla, but I tell you something. I think they could be a top eight side this season. I think they're really good. I think Everton will fade. I know they've got some good players. I think there's a few fad teams: Villa, Everton. Everton will be a top eight team, but they will be battling it out for Europa. Yeah. Make no mistake. Villa will fade.
Naturally.
But I think Southampton have got something about them.
Yeah.
I think they've got some really great players.
Spurs, for example, they only need an injury to Son or Kane.
Yeah.
And that's them.
They're on the Mourinho ticket right now. They're on the we've got one of the best managers in the world. He's won something everywhere. I keep hearing that. He's won something everywhere, and it's like, yeah, but he wasn't in charge of Spurs. He won everywhere because he's in charge of Real Madrid, Manchester United. Even at Manchester United, when he was a failure, he won something.
Yeah, and actually got them to finish second, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he says that was his biggest achievement in all of his managerial career.
Yeah.
Everything he's won is the achievement of getting Man United second.
Now we're mentioning the scum. How much are you looking forward to playing them?
I can't wait. I feel confident. Well, we're playing them tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think we would go into that game as the.
What's tantalising is that I think it's going to chime quite nicely with we got our injuries back and they get a couple of weeks but under them and then we're playing the scum.
Yeah.
And that's going to be brilliant.
You know what's going to really annoy me though is like I'd love a blood, guts and thunder game that has goals and all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would hate it if it's decided by a stupid VAR. I'm saying it now because I think this is what's going to happen. Decided by a stupid VAR penalty against us. Because it's Man U and it's us.
Well, that whole thing's a farce now, isn't it?
I could just see that happening.
Yeah.
Bruno's thinking Fernandes.
It's too soon to talk about it. They talk about it near the time.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, something has just come into my head. This has been a ridiculously sensible podcast that we've just done. Apart from the obvious old person teabag in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Listen,
25 minutes.
Everyone makes a teabagging mistake every now and then. So apart from putting that to one side, we've actually spoken about football for quite a long time.
I think we've also revealed how little we know.
Oh, our ignorance is blinding.
Yeah.
Actually, it's sublime. I'm in awe of our ignorance. I've never known two people that have said so much about so little.
Or so little about so much.
Well, if that ain't a philosophical point to end on, I don't know what is.
I'm actually angry with the listeners that have stuck it out so far.
Why? I don't think anybody has.
No,
that's I'm angry at myself.
We're back in the echo chamber again, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just us two. You were brilliant. You were brilliant. You were great.
Yeah, thanks.
And I was...
Stuart?
I was Leeds, therefore...
You were great.
Yeah! Good night.
Bring on the beat.
Wow. Out to Helder Costa, right-hand side, on the edge of the penalty area. Plays into Shackleton, back to Costa, to Patrick Bamford. Still Patrick Bamford. Oh, yes! What a way to get your hat-trick! That is truly magnificent! Truly magnificent football from Leeds United, and a quite fantastic finish from Patrick Bamford for the hat-trick! For the hat-trick! For the hat-trick! For the hat-trick!
Couple of balance.